We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. Just, guys, I'm going to start here. Bad news to report to you. Nate, again, with absolute dog shit at noon, turns in the worst team I've ever seen, is so far down, can't even convince himself he's drawing live with the dog shit he submits at noon, swaps to the highest possible scoring quarterback-wide receiver combo of the entire slate, and gets there again. It was a long, frustrating day. I played bad, ended up kind of getting there because I got lucky in some of my games. But just really, Nate, the people are sick of it. People are done listening to this show. They don't want to listen to you submit, you know, Deontay Johnson, fading Stone Cold Locks left and right, and then just swapping into the nuts. They're over,
Nate,
man.
Nate, I didn't even think you were going to swap. I thought you were just going to log out, take your L, and just like go walk the dog for 4 hours or something. I can't believe what happened.
That's basically where I was at. I was like, this is insane. When the Tyler Boyd thing happened, I was like, this is dumb. And then I'm like, whatever, just F it, swap. I had the swap sitting there for like 2 hours just waiting to hit export. And I just pulled the trigger last second. It was a frustrating afternoon because I played terrible. I played terrible. I got so shook from the Chase news.
Dude, we couldn't even figure out your original
we were sitting here trying to figure out what your original team was, and we couldn't. This is my best guess to what your original team was. Your original team was Geno, Mixon, Rashad White, Saint Brown, Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson, McBride, Bijan, Cardinals. Is that right?
Pollard Cardinals.
Oh my God, I was right. I knew I was right.
Got robbed of an all-time.
There we
Nate
go.
Plays the dustiest. He played Joe Mixon and the new Joe Mixon.
I think literally today, if you just would not have played Pollard, you probably submitted a winning team. I think that's really all it took was just to not play Pollard. Hopkins was owned and Deontay Johnson was owned. And I think, well, I guess Hollywood Brown did just as fucking dusty as those.
Yeah, Hollywood was dust. I mean, there was a lot of wide receiver, like, grenades this week. So, I think it was – well, let's just start. I mean, obviously, I think the biggest thing
– well, here, let me read the scores. News. Nate N, you still can't find him. 171.46, the Whirling Dervish, 148.26, I scored 143.38 cards on the table. I did not cash the massive $50 double up. Looks like I cashed some smaller ones. I ran good to get there in some bigger games today. So I am going to eke out a very small win on, I submitted $1,438 worth of entries, and I got back $1,513 with my cash game lineup. So not a big win. You call that trading crowns, just trying to be transparent here. But I got to give a shout out to a couple of the people who played me, and they just owned my soul. I got a guy who played a 109 against me, who played TJ Hawkinson and Taysom Hill. You know, no sweat, doesn't matter. Got there, you know, no problem. I had a couple, some of these, okay, this was my favorite one. Deuces Wild played the gnarliest lineup. It's not loading. It's going to take forever. Okay. Deuces Wild played Austin Eckler, Najee Harris, Mike Evans, Noah Brown, Cade Otton, and Taysom Hill. But it didn't matter because he smoked me, dude. 164 for this guy.
Noah Brown. Noah Brown gave you the goddamn blade, Holmes.
And look, man, the game is the game. If I'm going to be accepting 109s and 215s from people I have no fucking clue who they are, sometimes they're going to run the ETR optimal against me, and sometimes they're going to just give me the Noah Brown blade, and you know, it is what it is. It's all
sometimes they're going to sit on the toilet, click some buttons, wipe their ass, and then wipe their ass with you.
Yeah. So I had a couple of those today. It's all in good fun when it ends up not completely ruining my day. It's definitely not going to be all good. Like next week when I get absolutely smoked and you guys are all taking my money, it's not going to be nearly as funny then. It's not going to be.
The bit
loses equity at that point.
Okay. Yeah, let's just talk about Nate, man. I mean,
let's go through the big decisions. There were two quarterbacks who were in play, Geno Smith and
Burrow
and Joe Burrow.
I thought that Baker was in play too, frankly.
I mean, sure. I mean, I didn't consider it for a second, but I wouldn't have. I don't think it was bad. I don't think
I wouldn't
was bad.
I wouldn't have let it stop me. I'll just say that. Like, if I needed that money for a lineup I liked to have, and I had to have Baker instead of Geno, I would have done it.
You know the reason why Geno was better though.
Tell me.
Because he was late.
Yeah, if guys are that close, you want the late guy. Especially,
well, Baker wasn't even like the third. It was Goff. Goff was the other guy who got a bunch of ownership. Goff was like the third highest owned.
Yeah, and people played Purdy as well. I really thought it was just Geno and Geno and Burrow though. Actually, I just got this team that I had all morning. I thought this was a very hard slate. Like, I really didn't really think there was a right answer. I thought there was a lot of different ways that you could have gone. But it is very tilting to know you had the absolute unbelievable stone nuts and then didn't play it. So I posted this in Discord at 11 a.m. Geno, CMC, Bijan, and Mixon with Irwin, Tank Dell, St. Brown, McBride in the Cards defense. I mean, that's got to be like, what, 168, 170 or something? Like
professional lineup.
Yeah,
just that team was a team that played against me in head-to-heads. It was like a 159.
Yeah.
You should have played that team.
Total no sweater. Total no sweater. Didn't end up playing this. So the team that I played was Joe Burrow, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Marquise Brown, Tank Dell, Trent Irwin, Trey McBride, Bijan Robinson, and the most fear-based decision-making you could ever do. I played the Cowboys defense for 4,400. DraftKings dollars.
Yeah, you deserve to lose more money, bro. Jamar Chase.
We got to talk about this later because it's like a long discussion as to why it was so bad.
All right, yeah, great.
You played, Sammy played Geno Smith, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Marquise Brown, Jamar Chase, Trent Irwin, Trey McBride, Rashad White in the Cardinals defense. Nate originally played what? What was your original lineup, Nate?
It was Geno, Mixon, White, Pollard, Deontay, Amon-Ra, Hollywood,
McBride,
and Cardinals D. Basically, it was like they all value middling, like no studs, no punts. lineup.
I can't believe the people were robbed of you turning over Tony Pollard, man. I mean,
Tony Pollard was not a bad player.
Yes, he was. I will not stand for this.
Oh, buddy,
man.
Let's go.
I will not stand for this. You know exactly what you're doing. Anyone who clicked Tony Pollard instead of Bijan, you were doing the same thing I did with the Cowboys defense, which is total fear-based, irrational decision-making. You were unable to think outside of the box of what the computer was telling you. And that's what I did with Cowboys defense. I say, oh, they're the number one. They're the best play. Yada, yada. They're optimal. They like so on. It's just totally stupid. Tony Pollard, it is week 10. It is week 10. We are in November. Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away. It's not happening, man. It's just not happening. I would say
moving forward, the Tony Pollard thesis is dead because the workload is
no longer
there.
We said this a month ago.
Buddy, it was moving forward.
No. Before it was just efficiency concerns. Now it's legit volume concerns. Dowdle is not just a change of pace back. They're giving Dowdle work. Like,
yeah,
significantly. And
giving Dowdle work because Pollard sucks.
I know.
We already knew Pollard sucked. Like, this is just the genesis of Pollard eating ass.
But like, that's the difference between him and Mixon. Like, Mixon could go out there and suck the whole game, but he will still get the volume.
Pollard
sucks, but doesn't get the volume. And in the red zone, they have just decided they are no longer going to try to run the ball. So with Pollard at this point, I think moving forward, this was like the last week to see, does Pollard still get the volume, even with the efficiency not being there? And this week we saw they're not afraid to give Dowdle work significantly. And
it wasn't a week to see. We knew.
You could not have expected Dowdle to be in the first series. Dowdle got like literally, I think
Dowdle was getting red zone snaps last week, dude. It's over. It's been over. It was over. It was not good.
It's not good.
Regardless, it's definitely over now.
If you're gonna play, if you're gonna play a very talented timeshare back who you don't know if they're gonna get red zone stuff,
then you play Bijan.
You play Bijan.
Yeah, for 6,100 instead of Pollard for 7,300.
No, for flat 6K for Bijan this week. And
yeah,
I mean, we can get into the. Let's do this. Let's talk about why the fuck Nate did not play Trent Irwin. I mean. Which does relate to the Jamar Chase thing, because Sammy, were the only one who ended up playing Chase.
Yeah. So here's the thing about the Chase thing. So Chase, I was pretty confident I was going to play until this morning. I was under the impression it was just like a back bruise. It wasn't muscular. They were just going to shoot him up with a bunch of drugs and he would be fine. It was just a pain management issue. But there were some reports throughout that were like, he's going to play. Question of how many snaps, question of how much he's going to be. And I was like, I can't pay up for a high price wide receiver in this spot when there's so many other places to go. I thought Amon-Ra St. Brown like had a chance to outscore.
I thought the same thing. And that's why I had St. Brown all morning.
So I took Chase out of my player pool at that point with that report. And then there was another report that said that it was going to be Irwin / what's the other guy's name? I can't even pronounce his name.
Sovias
splitting T. Higgins' workload. So then I'm like, I'm not also going to take the floor of a 3K wide receiver that I can't even guarantee is going to be the replacement for Higgins. And then I just got so concerned about the overall efficiency of Burrow, because then I had Burrow in my lineup. And I was like, if I'm fading Chase, I also can't play Burrow and hope for that efficiency. So I then literally just ran a manual exclusion of Irwin, Chase, and Burrow and built around it. I just said I had to make this decision. And obviously within 10 seconds of the slate starting, it looked like an awful decision. But looking back, I think it's clear Chase was not 100%. It affected Burrow's efficiency. Obviously Burrow, Boyd got there in the end, but like, I don't think the thesis.
It was looking pretty goddamn dark for
I'm going to say this for Nate. I'm going to say this for Nate. I agree. I mean, Irwin was a good play, but I don't think you had to play him. I don't think he was a stone ass lock. And I agree with Nate that if you're like not buying the receivers, then you don't need to buy Burrow.
Yeah, right. And so I literally looked at my lineup and
that part
and
I
felt
with.
So
I
good
the
about the floor. I felt that so many people were taking like high price shots at Chase and then low price shots at Irwin, where their floor was going to be so low that in cash, I just felt great about all of my players and their floor. I looked at Geno, I looked at Mixon, I looked at Rashad, I looked at Deontay, I was like, I'm not punting anywhere. But the reality was Deontay is terrible and you cannot play Deontay Johnson in cash games. I'm like, that was awful. And Hollywood didn't get there.
Oh my God. Talking about a guy who I just need to exclude from. I mean, enough of the Hollywood, dude.
Yeah. Like, so I was sitting there after the noon slate and I was like, I got to do the switch. I got to swap. And I just found what was the highest upside swap possible. And it was just, let's hope CD Dak go off.
Getting 85 combined points.
And then I thought Lockett was a great pivot as well off of Pollard, because I thought Lockett always has these games where he can hit 25 points, you know, at no ownership. So that was the thesis.
You just saved yourself from not having to play. Cause imagine how tilted you would have been had Deontay. Look at your lineup. Had Deontay gotten 12 and.
Yeah. Deontay just goes 7 for 68. Like he always does.
You're eating the absolute shit. Yeah.
Deontay gives you the dub again. True alpha.
I mean, honestly, this Pollard thing, Pollard was like 30% owned. I mean, he was not.
It was the only reason I won. I think looking at stuff, it was the only reason I was able to claw.
I know what the projection said, but sometimes it's a little bit more of an art, fellas. And
this week was an art week
because the optimals all just like towards the end, like I was looking at optimals like 30 minutes before lock. And a lot of them were like two tight end stuff, which actually ended up winning the Millie Maker. So maybe it was good, but I just didn't feel that comfortable with it. So I played Irwin one because the Bengals team total didn't move all week, even with like T Higgins out with a hamstring, Jamar Chase might not play. Their team total stayed the same. The last game T was out, Irwin was their leading receiver. He had 10 for 72. And I thought that he had a pretty significant out if Chase wasn't good. If his back injury flares up, Irwin is the only, I mean, he's the only guy who's been on the team with Burrow the whole time. Because Irwin, he's a...
Well, Boyd, leader. But Boyd is a different...
Yeah, it's a different position. Yeah. And I actually, my team, Boyd, Cardinals, fit over Cowboys, Irwin. And I think that combo actually ended up winning because fucking Cowboys defense only got 8.
He didn't get that volume. He only had like what, 3-4 targets? Like it was the touchdown. So like I don't that's, looking back by the I don't way, look that's back literally, and feel like I played bad by fading Irwin. It was
well,
just
no buddy what you did you played bad you faded fucking 17 touches from Tank Dell like a goddamn imbecile.
I did too.
Yeah. Playing guys, Deontay. Okay. I mean, obviously I couldn't get to Tank Dell. Tank Dell obviously projected better. If I had the dollars, I would have gotten Tank.
Because you had to get Pollard. Because you just had to get Pollard in.
So but like Deontay versus Tank is awful. Deontay versus Tank is miserable. I cannot believe I should have just rebuilt the whole lineup.
And Tank had 14 or 15 targets, bro.
He had 15 targets. He had probably, if I'm going to conservatively guess, about 287 air yards. He drew multiple DPIs and he also got 2 carries.
Yeah, we were extremely lucky that Tank Dell only went 6 for 56 and 1 with 13 rushing yards.
Oh, he took a shot in the back too, and I was like, that guy weighs 150 pounds. Like he's not coming back in. And he's on the field.
I think we're really lucky
play.
That Devin Singletary got 30 freaking touches.
Yes.
Dude's name is Tank. He was coming back. I mean, so here's where I mean maybe it's revisionist. I don't know. I had some misgivings about Chase, but Chase is just an alpha, bro. And like every time that Higgins is out, Chase completely demolishes. Like
I don't disagree with this logic, but this is how I would put it to you. And this is why I liked the St. Brown teams way better and why I never really built a lineup with Chase in. You knew that going into the game, there was some risk of ruin with Chase. Could be 1%. Could be 2%, could be 10%. We don't know, right? Hard to handicap that. But they've actually done this with T before. Remember last year, T, oh, he's active. He played one snap, you know? They did that with him. So I was like, shit, all right, there's that. He had the quotes after the Bills game where he was like, I'm just trying to be out there for my guys to need me, but, I, you know, it's like not looking great for me, boss. Then Schefter said you know, I maybe overstated his availability for this Sunday game. So I'm like, if there's a 5% chance of a dude either like not playing, like being active, but barely playing, like only decoying or re-injuring himself, like his re-injury probability is higher, then just play St. Brown, who's projected like 0.5% worse, but is not a risk to get you zero.
Yeah, that's where I played bad. I could have played St. Brown instead of Chase, and then I could have gone up to Dell instead of Hollywood Brown. And I was just, dude, I was just thirsty for upside. I was like, the upside of Chase and the upside of Hollywood Brown, like the reason we played him, because he was like a top six receiver when Murray was in last year. And it was like, dude, Murray's back. Like, let's go. I just chased the upside like the freaking heroin dragon. It was, you know.
I mean, it made sense if you were on Burrow, which you were not, which is a weird thing about your team that you played.
Yeah, that's the weird thing to me. If you
Sammy think Chase also is turning enough, over dog shit.
My
team was value heavy, bro.
No, you didn't play Tank, so I'm giving you an F minus for not playing Tank. And fair. Fair. Not I mean, your team is fine. Like, I don't actually think it's that bad.
You think Chase is healthy enough and you don't play Burrow, it doesn't make any sense. Weird. Like, your whole that's thesis weird. Is like inconsistent.
It is not, sir. Burrow is $1,000 more than Geno Smith. What are you talking about?
You play Chase because if Chase is healthy, Chase is the best wide receiver on this slate by a mile. And that's the right. Chase Burrow connection is like basically what the CD DAC connection is. It's just $2,000 cheaper. So like, if your thesis is I'm playing for this, then you're expecting to see this explosion game from him. If you thought at all, oh, maybe he won't be fully healthy, well, then you can't play Chase. Like,
no, Nate, the backwards is true, as we've stated and confirmed, but like, I can like Chase and think he's a dog and not necessarily need to have Burrow and pay $1,000 more with him. I thought Geno was a real fine play. I like targeting Washington.
It was the combination of playing Mixon, Irwin, and Chase, and not playing Burrow that is not logically consistent.
It's fine. If I had $1,000 more, I would have played Burrow's ass too, and I didn't.
Your argument would just be like it's quarterback, and quarterback scoring is pretty flat, and like
that's right.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That's right. I would have played Burrow. I liked Burrow. Burrow was great, and he did great, and everything was great about it. But like, you know, it's quarterback.
All right.
And it's flat. Well, and Burrow doesn't, I know he's been running a little more, but it's like he's not one of these like super mobile quarterbacks. So if I can approximate what he does with Geno, which ended up happening, like everything's fine. Obviously, I believed in him. I just didn't play him because he was $1,000 more than Geno.
Okay, I got to give myself my F minuses for today. Number one F minus, Cowboys defense. It's just, you know, they were in as good of a spot as they could have possibly been in. Things go like they had Tommy DeVito like wrapped up in the end zone. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the deltas in skill position players are just going to be so much greater, right? Like, what is the max a defense can, like 25? That's like that. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen maybe 30, maybe if they get two defensive touchdowns, they can get 30 or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, the paying, what were they? 41 or 4,400?
44, but it was
bro.
Yeah. That's a bro, lot to pay. For.
This is some big, like it's my first year playing DFS energy that I'm going to. You've been playing DFS for like 10 years, man. You know you never pay $4,400 for any defense. It doesn't matter who it is. And
I definitely would not have done it in any slate where there wasn't a 3K wide receiver I felt decently comfortable in.
But you ended up completely foregoing the Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamar Chase.
Well, no,
CeeDee Lamb. You didn't take any of them, and you paid up for DST. Like,
well, that's
I know
wrong.
You're taking your L, but like, we really need to rub this in. That is rookie mistakes, bro.
It is terrible, but that's not what I did. I chose Christian McCaffrey over all those guys, which was
I was gonna say he played CMC. That's
I played CMC. I played CMC too. I didn't forego Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, that tier.
Well,
I didn't do that.
The thing is that the best version of my team had CMC and St. Brown, and it just had St. Brown instead of Marquise Brown. And
that's a way better version.
Yeah. I mean, I actually do think playing Marquise Brown was pretty bad at 5,200. Like, just looking at it objectively, there were a lot of ways to get to better combos than that. Most of them, including Ja'Marr Chase, which I was not going to do, and St. Brown, which I really wanted to do. And the thing was, is that it would have meant not playing the Cowboys defense. And I ended up basically being like, oh, Hollywood Brown, he was so good when Kyler was there. No, dude.
Should have just played Noah Brown.
We got to just start calling him Sklansky Brown, because that's all he had a touchdown. Obviously, this is his thing. He had a 40-yard touchdown in his hands, and he hit the ground and it popped out. Just
obviously
shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, so let's talk about Noah Brown for a minute, though. Like, he smashed the shit out of last week. I know he's like a lifelong,
This is never going to be the play I beat myself up about, like missing out on the guy coming off the best game of his career, who hadn't had a 100-yard game since he was in high school. Like, when I get beat in these spots,
this is like, Mac Hollins for the Raiders last year?
Yes. When he had what, 7 for 136 and one, and I didn't have him or whatever. Yeah.
You can't beat yourself up about it. The Noah Brown thing was, I don't know. If you were like that confident Noah Brown was going to do this today, I think you're a little overconfident in yourself, but
it's totally fine. Like, I thought he was a perfectly fine tournament play. Like, I got no issue with that.
Yeah, but if we never hear his name again in the rest of the league, like, would anybody be surprised?
We probably won't, because Woods is back, and Nico should be back next week, so we literally probably won't ever hear from him again. So, yeah. I mean, he's like Jalen Guyton or whatever. We all played Trey McBride. We know ball. I would say anyone who played St. Brown today, you're probably good. Like, whatever led you there, you probably have like a very good thought process on how to play cash games on DraftKings. Cause it just, all the things leading you to get St. Brown into a lineup indicate you like know what's going on. And clearly I don't.
Unless you had to play Deontay Johnson to get there.
I mean, yeah.
So let me ask you guys this. I mean,
Bijan. I'm the only one that played Bijan after you two slaps played him last week. What gives, man?
I had $200 extra dollars, and I could have played him instead of Rashad White.
I did the same thing.
No, I'm good actually.
So, I mean, I thought I actually had Rashad White for a lot of the more, like, I think it's fine, but you guys can tell me if this is fish or not, but this was my thought on why Bijan was a better play this week than he was last week, because Arthur Smith has been eating shit all week. Every press conference, every time he talks to his boss, guarantee you this dude has been doing nothing but eat. He's been having to say sorry. You know, he's sitting in his meetings, and I'm sure that his, you know, quality control guys are like, look at Bijan, dude's pretty good. And then there was that report on Friday in The Athletic that was like, you posted in our group chat this morning, Sammy, that was basically like, dude's going to get fed the rock. And he got his most carries of the season. I think he got 4 targets, got the touchdown from the 5-yard line. I felt, and one, Bijan is like kind of acceptable to play at this price in this spot anyways, as like a favorite and a don't, like, even without all that narrative shit. So I just kind of felt the stars were aligning, basically.
That's totally fair. The way I felt was just like, Arthur Smith, this,
yeah, he just this silver, last this week.
Silver spoon motherfucker who's son of a billionaire. Like, he might just tell everybody to eat dicks.
Yeah, humility.
That's
humility
the thing.
Is
when you say
thing,
he's been
right.
eating shit all week, that actually makes him more want to play Algier. Like, to prove how right he is. The dude is so unable to grow or to have any constructive criticism. Like, nothing about this man screams any rationality to me, no matter how broken we think he might be. Like,
well, let me tell you,
none of those
reports
moved anything
for me. They're heading in. They're heading into the bye week right now off 2 really bad losses, like 2 consecutive really brutal losses. That seat's hot, man. I bet there is a chance that he gets a package from FedEx that he does not want to open that contains a letter telling him to get the fuck out of the building.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I would not
it just,
be.
It's just a bouquet of dicks, and now he's unemployed.
is there anything else interesting? I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. Pretty much everyone I played against today had some version of some team that I was considering. I thought the quarterbacks who were in play were Geno and Burrow. I thought the running backs that were in play were Rashad White, Tony Pollard, Bijan, McCaffrey, Mixon. I thought Kenneth Walker was in play a little bit, but that extra $500 like ended up just making it so that you could
Kenneth Walker was, I thought he was my favorite tournament play of the week, actually. Yeah. But for the price, he was like a few hundred more than this Rashad. He was like a grand more than Rashad White, so like 800 more than Bijan. Doesn't have the pass game role because Charbonnet's really been eating into that. He's been losing snaps. I thought he was a great play because if they're ahead, like he can absolutely smash, but I did not think he was in consideration for cash.
Sure. Wide receivers that were in play, Chase Brown, Tank Dell, Deontay, Hollywood, Irwin, Boyd. And then I saw people show up with Hopkins, which I thought was a little strange. I think it was fine. I would have played Deontay over Hopkins, I think.
Nah, I mean, I thought it was fine, but I wasn't about to do it. Like,
I also think the two tight end teams were like, if you did play the Schultz McBride team or Hawkinson or whatever in flex, I actually thought all that was fine too. I really did not hate those teams.
I didn't see any Keenan teams, but Keenan would have been fine to roll out as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think like my deal is I kind of think those high price wide receivers are kind of interchangeable. Like when Tyreek and Cup before the Rams started to fall apart, like those guys, like Justin Jefferson, I'm never going to say you're bad for playing the one that's like not as popular in a given slate most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we did CMC though, right?
Yeah, because we're mentally weak cucks and we should have played St. Brown. Well, you're not. I'm mentally weak it's the CMC was a fine thing, as evidenced by the fact that they literally brought him back.
Did everything they possibly could.
They brought this dude back in the fourth quarter of a total blowout, having Sam Darnold throw him goal line fades to try and keep his touchdown streak going.
That was so fun, bro. Yeah.
And by the way, if he would have gotten that, I would have swept. So it's fine.
I know. But I mean, God, I mean, he smashed and he was super lucky to not get 20.
To be fair, I don't think he did smash. I think this was like underperforming.
Yeah. To only get 20 because he didn't get the 100-yard bonus. He ended up with 95 rushing yards. He didn't get the touchdown that he gets every week. It could have been a big, big game for McCaffrey. Like this was almost the floor, TBH.
Yeah.
No, this was, he didn't get the bonus. Didn't get a touchdown. Bijan 6 yards away. I got slow rolled, by the way, by my game tracking app. I click the score, and it says on that last drive, it said Bijan had a 46-yard run. It must have just gotten confused. So I'm like, oh, I made it. Like, Bijan just got 8 points on a run. Like, yep. Like I made it. I'm there. Like, I don't have to sweat anymore. And then it just automatically corrects and is like, Bijan for 2 yards. I'm just like, great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I saw that too.
Six slow roll. All right, tournament team. So, Nate, I did a little bit more of what we've been talking about, trying to get into a game that went nuts. So I did Detroit Chargers, right? Nuts. I got to be rich. Like, I'm rich. Like, no. Yeah. No, I'm not rich. Jared Goff, 24 points. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 33 points. I played Eckler as the bring back instead of Keenan. He got 24. Obviously, Keenan got like a bazillion. And I'll just wear the fucking dunce cap. I played Quentin Johnston. I played 5% owned Quentin Johnston. He scored.
Bro, he should have had 30.
He should have had 30, legit. So all that I feel fine about. Like, that's pretty consistent with the thesis. Although I should say, you know, the number one thing the Sims were jamming this week, like regardless of what sim you were looking at, it was all Cowboy stuff. It was all Dak and CeeDee and Ferguson. That was like, yep. All, yeah. So I did play that in some of the smaller stuff, but it's not as interesting to talk about. This was in the double spy. So I played.
I don't think QJ was bad at 5%. I think like he's bad. QJ is bad. It's like undoubted. Like, he is bad at football. Anybody who drafted him like early on in your seasonal stuff, like, you're bad. But at this point, 5% owned in tournaments, knowing he's going to be on the field as much as he is in this spot, I think he's fine tournament play.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he was
close to having multiple big touchdowns and just is bad. But like,
well, it would not have saved. It would not have saved this lineup. I played Alexander Slappison as my second running back on this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cam Akers, tear the Achilles, more work, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. Just play Rashad White, man. You don't like, not every play needs to be to prove that you're smart. You know, not every play needs to be like, oh, look at this guy. He gets into the game theory. Like, just, you can just play Rashad White, man. It's like, not a big deal. No one's going to judge you. Like,
yeah,
the points,
well,
the points count the same when someone is 15% owned as when they're 4% owned. Turns out I ran the math and they actually, all the points count the same.
Yeah, this, something the Sims have showed us.
Yeah. I played Jaxon Smith-Njigba on this team. I mean, like, I just love the dude. I think he's really good. Lockett ends up getting there today. Metcalf actually was amazing on that last drive, but like, the routes and the targets are all like, he's just a real part of that offense there. So if there is a passing script for them, which I've kind of thought this would be because the play volume from Washington, he was like maybe a little bit too chalky. He was like 10 to 15%, depending on what you looked at. The play I was most in on today was Debo. I played Debo on every tournament team I made. He was fine. He scored, but it was, Jaguars just couldn't push back at all. They just couldn't do, like, it was, I mean, they basically didn't have to do anything in the second half. So you kind of need.
That's been the frustrating thing about the Niners is they've literally put the dick down on some really good teams, like the Cowboys when everyone was benched in the fourth quarter in that one night game. They did it today against the 6-2 Jaguars in Jacksonville. Just like, oh, all the players are now out because this game's too big of a route. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. I played Evan Engram as the bring back to Debo. Also, just like, Engram was, I thought, a good play. He ended up not being because the Jaguars scored 3 points on offense. I did not expect a New York Giants level of effort from the Jacksonville Jaguars, but that is indeed what we got. And I played the Cardinals defense, which they actually were only 15% owned. I thought they would be way more owned than that in tournaments because everyone played them in cash. I guess people really did just pay up for the high price defenses in tournaments. I mean, this team did not get there, but like, it's just watching David Montgomery rip off, you know, like the Lions go to half with 300 yards of total offense and 24 points and Jared Goff has 4, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, he ended up getting there. It's like, obviously he wasn't as good as Dak and CeeDee, so it didn't really matter. But that is some of the drawbacks of doing the game stack. But then also just like, you don't got to play Alexander Mattison, man. Like, it's going to be okay. You could just play Rashad White.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you about my team. This is fun. This is the team that I had been in the red zone. And this team, I stacked Dak and CeeDee Lamb and didn't even finish in the top half of the tournament.
How?
What are you doing, man?
Well, let me tell you. So, Alexander Mattison.
Okay. All right. That if you and I both like 60 IQ'd our way on Alexander Mattison, that's got to be.
Guys,
like,
why are you doing this? You yeah, already with your stacks getting different. Why are you filling it out with these?
It's not good. I'm here to take my L. So I played Dak and CeeDee, didn't bring it back, obviously. And then I played a couple little minis. So I did have Alexander Mattison. I also played the Kenneth Walker mini, bringing it back with Johan Dotson. Zero.
Yeah, you cannot play Dotson when Samuel's active. You just can't do it.
Zero points.
I legit wasn't watching some of that game. What happened? Was he just running routes like and not getting any time?
Yeah, he was.
I mean, how was out there like 50 times?
He was out there. He got a target. He got a target on the game tying drive. He just the whole Washington offense is very egalitarian outside of McLaurin. They don't really drop stuff for anyone. And Howell like doesn't care. Howell is just like flying around. He is a trip to watch. But yeah,
he targeted running backs like 30 times.
That's right. Their only receiver over 42 yards was
B-Rob.
Brian Robinson with 119 receiving yards.
And was their second Gibson? I mean,
yes. Yes, it was. So, I mean, you know, tough L there. I also Galbrained and played Drake London in this game with Marquise Brown. So two receivers facing each other. Big L there.
I liked the London play. Hollywood Brown at like, what was he, 19% owned in the red zone probably?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so that I think Hollywood Brown is not a guy you want to be sharing with like 600 of your friends.
No, they can have him. At tight end, I played Chig Okonkwo. And
I like Chig. Yeah, it was realizing in retrospect, it was a bit slappy how excited everyone got to play Will Levis's receiving options.
Correct. And then I played the Steelers defense at home against Jordan Love. But literally, Dak 42 points, CeeDee 42 points, and then Snowflake Mattison, Snowflake Dotson, Snowflake London, Snowflake Hollywood. They didn't give Okonkwo the Snowflake, but he deserved them. This team didn't even finish in the top half of the tournament. Put me in jail.
It's pretty bad, man. I have not been very good at tournaments this year. The one week where I had like legit the right mix, I just didn't end up like, I mean, I just didn't get there.
I know. Can we talk about though that like the Dak CD was real sharp in tournaments?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I played a dog shit team around it, but like this narrative of like, oh, Pollard and the Cowboys defense. Like, if you blow a team out and you put up a bunch of points, that's like the ultimate, like the quarterback is efficient, right? That's how you win tournaments, is like mass efficiency. And these kind of games like kind of are ripe for mass efficiency. So I don't think I ever would have gotten to Brandon Cooks, you know, but like, man, that was the stack, right? You go. Dak, CD and Cooks. I mean, buddy, you're cooking with gas.
I mean, Dak and CD literally were doing whatever they wanted to do. Like there was, yeah, that like when you're getting that level of efficiency, three quarters doesn't matter.
Yep. All right, Nate. Can't wait to hear you had the Levis, Hopkins, Okonkwo.
No, I played bad this week.
Thank God Mac Jones and DeMario Douglas were not on the main slate. Really, really saved you there.
Yeah, I played bad. I had Purdy teams. So this one was
I don't think that is bad in and of itself.
Well, it was a Purdy double with McCaffrey, and
I'm gonna stop you there. Wait, like tell me the scenario where a Purdy double gets there. Draw me the script where a Purdy double gets there.
McCaffrey catches touchdowns
and his wide receiver hit. No, like I don't have the data on this, but I would actually say that a Purdy double is probably as good as almost any other double as you can find. Purdy is like San Francisco is one of the most concentrated target like volumes that you're going to find.
But it feels like their overall play volume is so low that two of the guys getting there with GPP winning score. I'm not saying Purdy can't get 26 and McCaffrey can get 28 and Debo can get 24, but like you kind of need more than that. You kind of need one of them to really like be the highest scoring guy at their position. And I feel like that's tough because they just don't run that many plays. They use so much of the clock. Like they have these like 19 minute drives.
I think Purdy doubles are totally fine in small field. Like I'm not playing millionaire maker stuff, but anyway, I did a Purdy double, which I think is fine. It was Purdy, McCaffrey, and Ayuk. The problem was that my bring back was Ingram, tight end. And it wasn't that I don't feel bad about the bring back because I think in this spot, I thought Ingram as a bring back actually has like a ceiling in and of himself. It's not a bring back for the sake of a bring back. It's a bring back who actually has a ceiling. I felt okay about it. And then I filled it out with Bijan, Marquise Brown, which was terrible.
How owned was Bijan?
25%. Not
that is
didn't feel great.
I don't think
see
no,
that.
I don't that's fine. That's fine. I 25%
owned Bijan is not what I wanted to play. Like
yeah, but to your point, like nobody's playing Purdy doubles, man. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's where I got. So anyway, Ayuk was like single digit. He was 7%. Ingram was single digits. Had Bengals D. This team didn't get there. I was pretty high on the San Francisco offense with everybody being healthy again. And I don't know. I don't think
coming off the bye. I mean, yeah. The reality is me and Davis played Madison. Me and you played Hollywood Brown. Like, have fun staying poor. Yeah. Jesus.
You know what's, like, the most tilting is, like, so I mean, I definitely do not do this in a scientific way the way Nate does. Like, I'll do, like, my three main teams, like, spy, red zone, and then, like, I'll just make teams, you know? Like, I'll just be like, $12 single entry. Oh, they open up another $20, whatever. And I just throw them in because, whatever, it's just money.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, why not?
And those teams, like, all, like, not obviously not every week, but it feels like very consistently, the teams that I'm just, like, just phone shitter broing are just better. Like, just very consistently are scoring more points. Like, I definitely am doing something very wrong process wise to not have more high end outcomes. Like it definitely feels, I mean, I would guess I am just playing teams that are way too far away from the projected optimal. Like I'm playing teams that are 30 points or 25 points away from optimal teams, which
yeah, I mean, TBH, like playing Madison is
really bad. It actually
it's 2019. I gotta like get this 3% owned guy that no one's going to see coming. And yeah, it's way too fancy.
Yeah. It's really pretty bad. I don't like that. I mean, I do think the Eckler thing I thought.
It just depends on what you're playing. Like if you're playing millionaire maker type stuff, then yeah, you do need these random 3% off like guys that go off first ceiling.
Yeah, but
like
you need to just have the nuts, but like, that's not what I'm playing.
Yeah. You're playing, you don't need to strive to find these 3% Madison plays.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose more often.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to me, I actually did throw this team in the Millie Maker. Like, I had a busy weekend. I was at a wedding yesterday, and I actually missed regging for like the high money like spy and stuff like that. So I was like, well, you know, I got a $50 like small red zone, and I'll throw it in the Millie Maker. So
I was pretty excited. Justified. Like this, like Detroit Chargers angle, I was like pretty excited for the double spy. I was like, I don't think this spot's gonna get blown up. I really like this QJ play, like the QJ thing was, I was like, that's gonna be my angle, that's gonna be my unique play. And you know, just showing up with the 11% owned 5 points from Evan Ingram, just a real goddamn damper.
Yeah, the unique angle was just going Keenan and Amon-Ra,
correct,
and just smashing.
Okay. All right, let's get out of here. Everyone, thanks for listening. I will be back this week. Sammy and Nate will be back next weekend. Later.